DeMar goes on to say that the mind is designed by God for a kind of five areas. One is reason. Two is to test. Another is to investigate. Another one is to examine. And the fifth is to accumulate knowledge through the study of the Bible, creation, history, experience, and everything else, but within certain interpretive first principles that we call presuppositions. So this is kind of the undertaking of the Christian worldview. The Christian worldview says God created all things. He fashions his creation in a certain way, and then he creates humans in a very special way and imbues them with certain traits that he holds. And there's nothing apart from his communication or understanding or the way he has ordered the world that we can escape and get away from. And so some of those areas are these five things. We can accumulate knowledge. We have a sense that we can trust our memories, that we can look at the world. We can know it now, and we can know it in the future. And then we can be confident of the things that we knew back then. We can reason from certain things. So there looks like there's traffic in the street. I'm going to safely assume there's traffic in the street. And so all these things are the touchstone, the ultimate worldview, the ultimate standard that that we go back to as the touchstone. We are commanded to test the spirits, to test all things, 1 John 4:1, to examine everything and hold fast to which is good, 1 Corinthians 5:21. Christian apologists give reasons as to why they believe what they know is true. So even in the context of the Christian worldview, we have the ability and the direction to accumulate and to give out that source of information. We're told to preach the gospel. That's the saving power of humanity, but it's also how we can know the world around us and it gives us the proper understanding. So,
yeah. And so then after that, he kind of makes a really, really important point here. Yeah. He says that in a biblical defense of the Christian faith, God is not the one on trial. Right. I'm always reminded of that C.S. Lewis.
God book. In the docks.
Yeah, God in the docks. And he says that's not the case. Right. He says, how can a finite, fallible, fallen creature, ever be in a position to competently judge eternal things, right? How is it possible that the creature can legitimately question the creator? This, kind of echoes back to the questions that God asked Job, right? Near the end mm-hmm. of the book of Job. So the Christian apologist, he tells us, is not given the option to adopt a neutral position when defending the faith. Neutrality assumes that man and God are kind of on the same equal footing, right? God is here, I'm here, and we're kind of, we can argue together, right? He says, no. Christians are commanded not to, he calls this foolish, right? Christians are commanded not to answer a fool according to his folly. Why not? Well, if we try to do this, he tells us, we'll be like the fool, right? In his misguided assumptions, and be classified a fool if we assume neutrality or use his operating assumptions, Proverbs 26:4. The Bible assumes that worldviews based on premises that are contrary to the Bible are foolishness, mm-hmm. right? And so we don't want to do that is what he's suggesting here. We don't want to try to stand on a faulty, foolish foundation in our attempt to defend what God has to say.
Right. And the opposition doesn't stand in the dock and or in the place of judgment and says, 51% of me says I'm more convinced that God exists than not. I'll accept him. What they do is they stand in the very lap of God and try and smack him in the face. That's the ultimate word picture that we can get here. And I like C.S. Lewis as much as the next person, if not a little bit more. And his book on miracles is a presuppositional book, whether he wanted to believe so or not. We go on to say that an apologetic methodology that claims a Christian should be open and objective and tolerant of all opinions when he defends the faith is like a person who hopes to stop a man from committing suicide by taking the 100-story plunge with him, hoping to convince the lost soul on his way down. No one in his right mind would make such a concession to foolishness.
So we don't want to join. Right? So, How do we convince the person to not hit the bottom after they jump? Well, we jump with them and then try to say, you know, you really shouldn't be jumping. Yeah. It's going to, you know, hurt or kill you. And you know, let me try to convince you not to, you know. No. He says, that's not what we do. We don't, you know, we don't get on their ground in an attempt to do this.
Yeah. Right? Think about if you're in a debate, whether, you know, a friendly rivalry or a legitimate one in front of 1,000 people. And the topic of the debate is, did the Red Sea split for the Israelites to cross the Red Sea? Okay. What you need to do to be reasonable is to put down your Bible, to not talk about it, and to prove to the audience and to the other person that that this happened. So we can kind of talk about, well, the Israelites were in the region at the time. You know, there are certain known effects that can happen from time to time where winds blow and silt can build up, where you can kind of get this idea of walking across.
Yeah. Or even worse, we can say, well, the Egyptians really had no record of this, and so can we really, you know, accept this because there is no real written, I mean, there's the Bible, but, you know, there's no Egyptian written record of this, and so did it really happen kind of thing, right? Yeah.
And so what they're asking you to do is, okay, put down your belief about who God is, that he operates, that he takes an interest in a specific people group, that he is able to interact with his creation. Lay all that aside and then prove to me, well, why would I say I believe this because of this if I'm just going to lay it down? That's putting myself at not just a disadvantage, but I'm essentially lying to the person. And so what I'm asking, what I'm doing by not putting those presuppositions down is I'm just meeting that person on their same level in that we both hold to certain presuppositions, to certain ideas that we approach different avenues of facts, and those facts become evidence in certain ways. And my burden is I have to make all things evidence for my position because God controls everything. And so I have to be really, really smart, or that's where faith comes into play there, that trust. But Christians do this all the time, and when they adopt the operating presuppositions of unbelieving thought as if they were neutral assumptions about reality, there's no neutrality of assumptions. We can get to a common level of neutrality in that we're all created in the image of God, we're all able to observe things, but even the act of observation is something that you would be in disagreement with someone who is a materialist. Well, I observe these things and we can pull truth facts from them. Well, the materialist would say, well, all we're able to grab are things that are beneficial for our survival. And so if I'm being consistent with my standard, I don't know those are true things. I know those are survivable knowledge things at least to the point where we're at as a species and as an organism that I am, I may be a better evolved by a monicum. And so I'm able to trust this observation more. But we're only able to know the truth from it because of survivability. You want to say that there's some esoteric, fuller understanding of truth that resides out there, that that thing will remain there even if we're gone. Okay. That's the presuppositions that we're coming into to butt heads with. And so we just want to be open and honest about that and then observe that and say, can we look at first principles to say, are we able to operate with those assumptions? And what do those assumptions lead to? Those are kind of our two questions.
All right.
So Greg Bonson's Against All Opposition is the definitive apologetic starting point to help Christians develop a sound biblical apologetic methodology. So again, an intro book. That is there to kind of lead us into an idea of looking at a biblical worldview, biblical foundations, and the presuppositions that we have or should have that maybe you haven't kind of realized yet that flow out of your announcement that you're a Christian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good.